the summer as we did last summer. We have taken the format for our Wednesday night Bible studies of a forum of Ask the Pastor. And we have taken some time already this summer to answer a few questions that have come from you, the congregation. However, tonight, I want to take a moment and pose a question to you, the congregation. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, the Lord Jesus declared to his disciples that in these days, not far off, that he would build his church, and the gates of hell would not prevail against it. We know that passage well. The Lord Jesus promised that he would build his church, and that the church would be a victorious church. Seeing that these words of the Lord are his words and they are his promise, and seeing that according to Titus chapter 1 and verse 2, that the Lord is a God who cannot lie, why are we struggling today to see the church of Jesus Christ built? We can somehow look around and we can begin to wonder why we don't see the things that we thought would happen. Why does it seem to take so long for a church to get started and get established and to be able to support itself? And why does it seem to take so long for even established churches to continue? And why is it that we're not seeing the church of Jesus Christ build up as we thought? Before we seek to answer that question, then I want to ask the Lord's blessing upon our time together. Then we want to try to see from the Word of God some reasons why we are struggling to see the church built, at least as we think it should be. Let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll consider it together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for our time together tonight. We thank you, Lord, for this time to be able to come and study your Word. We ask you to pray your blessing upon it as we gather around thy word. We pray that you would show us truth that would help us, Lord, that we as your people would be a part of that church that is victorious and growing. Lord, a church that's having an impact upon our community, that we would be light and salt in the earth. And Father, Lord, that that not only be taking place here, but that in other places as well. The Lord, in these days, we would see you do great and mighty things that we know not. The Lord, you'd be pleased to use your church, the body of Christ, to bring others to a saving knowledge of him. And Lord, that you would do a wonderful work in us and through us. So Father, we ask you and pray your blessing upon our time together tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. To many in our day, in the realm of religion, the concept of building the church according to the principles of the Word of God seems to be no longer possible. If you sit and you watch the trends in modern Christianity and the modern church, you're going to see many who are turning aside from the basic principles of the Word of God and how to build the church. There are some that have concluded that in order to see a church go forward, that we're going to need to adopt the principles and practices of this world if we're ever going to be able to impact the world. And there are many who are following that philosophy because we've come to the conclusion that the Lord Jesus said he would build his church, and it just doesn't seem to be happening the way we think it should. So maybe it's time for us to find and follow other principles and other practices. And so there are some who are forsaking the principles of God's word, and they're going after the principles and practices of this world because they don't believe the church of Jesus Christ can be built upon the word of God. Many are choosing to set aside the priority of the Word of God and the simple preaching of his word for newer methods which are infused with the mind of man. I don't know if you've ever taken much time to go online and watch some messages from other churches or things that are out there in our culture, those that would seem to be leaders. They're considered leaders by some because they have written books, and many blindly read books without any thought to the people who write the books. I've taken some time over the recent months just to go on and look at some of these men, because there are some friends of mine, even in the ministry, who are reading these books, and they're quoting these men, and they're kind of setting them up as these men who seem to know so much and how to build a church. And you go on and you begin to look at their services and listen to their talks. We no longer preach. We no longer give messages. We just want to chat. We want to talk to you. And we don't have much of the Word of God, and we don't need much of the Word of God. We've got our own thinking. We've got our own reasoning. And we've got some things we need to discuss from the realms of psychology and self-help. And we're forsaking the very basics of the Word of God and the preaching of the Word of God. Does not the Bible say that it's through the foolishness of preaching that God would accomplish His work? Yet there are many who are forsaking such things. Many are setting aside good and godly standards in order that they might look and appeal, or be more appealing to the world. Some are moving away from good and godly music, which ministers to the spirit of man, and have replaced it with music that moves the physical and the emotional parts of man. Because that's what folks seem to really want, so let's give them what they want. We're developing churches on a seeker model. Let's find what they want and let's just give it to them. And the question is, can we truly build the church of Jesus Christ according to His Word? The Lord Jesus said He would build His church. And the church that He builds, the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. Do you believe that we can still today build the church of Jesus Christ according to the principles of His Word? I think the answer to that is yes. Because God, through His Word, has promised us that He would do so. The question that we must therefore ask is, what is preventing the church then from being built? If we believe that Jesus Christ can build His church, and we are His church, if we believe that He will build His church, then what prevents us, what prevents the true church of Jesus Christ from being built today? Because I think we have to admit that there are some things which have hindered the church and its progress. We're not the church that I think He wants us to be. And I'm not just speaking of this local body. I'm talking the body as a whole, universal. What prevents the church of Jesus Christ from really moving forward as that mighty army, having an impact upon our world, to be light and salt in the earth? What's prevented us from doing those things? Years ago, I remember getting a letter from another pastor. And in it, he enclosed an article that was entitled, "Yes, You Can Build a Church." I don't remember who the author of that article was, but I do remember parts of what that article had in it. There were several reasons that were listed for a church being hindered in its growth. And that got me thinking as to what hinders us from going forward as a church being built for the Lord Jesus Christ. So tonight I want to consider several reasons why churches struggle to be built. Why we struggle to go forward for the Lord Jesus Christ in our day. There are four things I want to look at with you this evening. And the first is this. I believe that one of the things that hinders us as a church, as the church of Jesus Christ, from going forward in our day is fear. It's probably the most prevalent reason for us not moving forward. We as people tend to fear, especially that which is unknown. Not long ago, we studied the life of Moses and the birth of the nation of Israel. Remember that study? Remember the events and the building of that nation? God did great and wonderful things in the lives of those people. Let me ask you a question. Who were the Jews before they became a nation? Who were they? Descendants of Abraham that were what? What was their occupation before they became a nation? Servants. They were slaves. They belonged to the Pharaoh of Egypt. They did his bidding. God, through Moses, emancipates them. He sets them free. He delivers them. He provides their exodus. They leave that place, and God takes them and he moves them from Egypt to Canaan. How many of you, by the way, like the move? How many of you enjoy that process? We've done it 9 times too many since we've been married. I despise moving. I don't envy Pastor Silver one bit in the move. I hate moving. I want you to put yourself in Moses' position. It was his job to organize the move of about 3 million people from Egypt to Canaan. Through that process, God delivered them out of the hands of Egypt. God delivered them from every enemy. God provided for their every need, did he not? When they needed water and there was none, he provided water from a rock. When they found water and it was bitter, he found a tree and made it sweet. When they needed food, he provided for them manna, and it was there every day. When there was a need for protection, he protected. When there was a need to hold the sun still, he would hold the sun still. Whatever had to happen, God would do. He would provide for their every need. And he brings them from Egypt right to the brink of the promised land. But they never entered. Why not? Numbers 13, look at verse 26. Moses has sent the spies into the land. And they come back with their report. Verse 26. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, We came unto the land whither thou sendest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Now notice, nevertheless the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. I think that's an interesting observation. Who was the first enemy that God defeated for them? Egypt. Who was Egypt at that time in world history? They were the first great world empire, the most powerful nation on the face of the earth, and they were pretty close to their peak. If not just on the other side of their peak, they were a powerful nation. And God destroyed them. But now they come to a land that has the Amorites and the Ammonites and the Jebusites and say, We can't go up against them. And they brought up an evil report, verse 32, of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, The land through which we had gone to search it, and the land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people we saw in are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our sight as grasshoppers. So we were in their sight. Look at chapter 14, verse 1. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night, and all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron. What kept them from possessing the land of Canaan and going forward? Fear. Simple as that. It was fear. It was a lack of faith, and it was a fear of going into that which was unknown. You know, it's often fear that keeps the people of God today from moving forward and trusting the Lord and His leading. You know, you and I have giants in our day. We all have them, do we not? Let me ask you a question tonight. What are some maybe of the giants that face the church today? What are some of the things that we at times become afraid of that maybe hinder us from really going forward and doing what the Lord wants us to accomplish? What might they be? Any thoughts? I have a couple in my mind, but I'll give you an opportunity. What are some of the giants that we face? Things that we look at and say, I don't think we can really overcome those. That's just too much for me. Old age. I don't have that problem yet. But I think sometimes we allow those things to stop us, don't we? Government. Sometimes we're afraid of what they will do, and sometimes we're afraid to stand up and do that which is right. What else?
Finances.
That's actually one of the things I put on my list. You know, sometimes we're afraid about finances. We're afraid to move forward because, well, we don't know if we can actually afford that. Can I ask a question tonight? Isn't the earth the Lord's and the fullness thereof? Doesn't He own a cattle on 1,000 hills? What God commands us to do, doesn't He enable us? Doesn't He pay? Then why do we allow things like finances to hinder us from doing His work? I don't know about you, but I've experienced it in my own life. You ever been in that service and the Lord lays it upon your heart? I've often felt this way when a special speaker's in, when the missionary's in. I can remember sometimes sitting in a service and we had a missionary in, and there was a certain amount of money in my wallet, and there wasn't a whole lot, but there were some. And I was ready to give the smaller portion of that to the Lord. I had plans for the larger portion. And God said, you know what, I prefer you to give the larger portion tonight to meet my servant's needs. Now, right then and there, our faith is tested, is it not? Because we know what limited resources we have, and if I give that, then I can't use it for the things that I thought we were going to use it for. And Lord, I don't know if we can do that. But God causes us to move forward by faith, does He not? And folks, our God is able to supply some of our needs or all of our needs. Sometimes, though, churches are stifled in their growth because of the fear of finances. What else? Say that again. Okay. I'm going to lump that in with the other one I thought of, and that's the fear of our pride. Sometimes I think we're afraid of change because our pride gets in the way. Sometimes God wants us to do something, and it's a little different than what we're used to. Sometimes God will go ahead and speak to our heart, and someone might come and say, I think you'd be the perfect person to be involved in this ministry. Oh, no, you don't understand. I'm shy. I couldn't do that. That's not my personality. We know the Lord really wants us to do it, but we almost are too afraid to do so. And what really is getting in the way is our pride. That's a giant. I don't think I can get over that one. I don't know that I can obey and do that. We fear the change, and our pride struggles with change that someone might suggest. We have our giants, and fear can prevent us from moving forward as a church. Fear prevents us moving forward in our own walk with the Lord Jesus Christ individually. Yet I want to remind you of a couple principles in God's Word. We don't have time tonight to look at all. I'm going to encourage you to jot them down. In 1 Samuel 17, verse 45 and following. It's the story of David with Goliath. And it says, David comes out onto the battlefield and he stands before Goliath, the giant. And his response is this: I come to you in the name of the Lord. I can conquer you. I am not afraid because I am on the Lord's side. Hey folks, whose side are we on? We're on the Lord's side, are we not? That's where we say we are. Can we do things according to His word? Will it work? Yes. Why? We're on the Lord's side. What about the principle in Romans 8, verse 31 through 39? What can separate us from the love of Christ? The answer? Nothing. For we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ our Lord. Nothing can take that away. We're on His side. He is our God. There is nothing to fear. How about 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7? Our God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. The church of Jesus Christ sometimes does not go forward because us as a people are too afraid to go forward. Yeah, folks, our God desires to build His church and He desires to use us. And we can't allow fear to keep us from going forward. There's a second thought that I find. If you want, turn to Proverbs chapter 20 for a moment. Proverbs chapter 20. I want you to see just two verses and just a couple comments. Proverbs 20, look at verse 4. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg in the harvest and have nothing. Look at verse 13. Love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty. Open thine eyes, and thou shalt be satisfied with bread. Now, one of the other things that sometimes prevents us from going forward for the Lord in our own individual lives and as a church is simply this. Sometimes, folks, we just grow a little lazy. In order for the work of God to go forward and His church to be built, there's a need for the people of God to be made willingly vessels of God through which His blessings can flow. You know, there is much work that needs to be done in the church of Jesus Christ today. Consider with me some of the labors or works that need to be done. You know, there are labors of service. I mentioned this to you Sunday night. I'm going to mention it again. Ladies, there's a need for nursery workers. It's not the most glamorous of ministries. It means you've got to give up a service. It means you have to miss Sunday school or Sunday morning, Sunday night, or a Wednesday night. But you know why we provide that? We provide it especially not just for the children, believe it or not. We provide it especially for moms. Moms who have spent their week taking care of children. Moms who haven't had a whole lot of time away from them, who could use the encouragement of fellowship, who could use the encouragement of being in and under the Word of God. You know what's interesting in churches? You know who ends up doing most nursery services? Mothers. We got that one wrong. Ladies, if you haven't signed up and done nursery in a while, there's a work and labor of love that is there. By the way, I'm going to say it tonight, and don't tell her I said it, but my wife hasn't been in the service for about a month because she's filling in. Moms need a chance to be in the services. There's a labor, the ministry of nursery workers. There's ushers, there's greeters, there's lawnmowers, there's snow clearers, there's painters, there's other work and services that needs to be done. How about the work in the ministry of prayer? Every Sunday night we meet as men and ladies. Men, I encourage you to join me Sunday nights. I have to say I was somewhat surprised. There's been one or two Sundays this summer that I spent for about the first 10 to 15 minutes in our men's prayer room alone. Men, there's a work of prayer that needs to be done. Ladies, the same. Prayer meeting ought to be one of our most exciting and well-attended services. Yet in the church today, it's the one that everyone thinks they have the right to skip. There's the ministry of prayer. There's the ministry of witness. There is work that needs to be done. And if the church of Jesus Christ is going to go forward, we have to be diligent in our work, in our labor for the Lord. Let me give you a third thing that hinders us. Ignorance. Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:15 and said, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Did you know it's our business? It's our business as a church. It's your business as a child of God to know your Father's business. Did you know that? It's your business and my business to know the business of the Lord. We're to study the Word of God. We are to search the Scripture to see if these things be so. We're to give ourselves to the understanding of the Word of God. We mentioned Sunday night in our study of Nehemiah an eagerness to hear and understand the Word of God. Let me ask you a question. In your business, in your line of work, would your company keep you if you refused to learn the business or the trade that you were in? If you refused to understand how to do your job properly, would your company keep you? Absolutely not. They would have every right to fire you. Does the Lord deserve any less than that? We put a lot of time and energy in learning our business so that we might profit. And yet we've been given a greater business, the business of the Lord. And sometimes what hinders us from going forward is we just have stopped learning and growing. We just don't know. We ought to take the time to study and know the things of God. Churches struggle to move forward because they're simply unwilling to learn the business of their Heavenly Father. There's a fourth reason. I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 5 for a moment. Hebrews chapter 5. Two more things and then we're done. Another thing that keeps us from moving forward for the Lord and seeing the church of Jesus Christ be built, it's the problem of dullness. What I mean by that is this. Christianity has for us become commonplace. We tend to take for granted that which has been entrusted to us. We have lost our fervor. We've lost our zeal. We've lost our excitement. And that's exactly the danger that the writer of Hebrews is pointing out in Hebrews 5, verse 11. He says, "Of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full of age, even those who of reason, of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Sometimes we become dull. Things just become commonplace. We just take for granted the things that we have. And instead of being continually growing, instead of being continually excited, instead of being involved in teaching others, we're sitting around waiting for someone to teach us. Because we've grown dull. Hey folks, you and I, for the most part in this room tonight, are people that have been saved for many, many years. And all of us should be in position to teach others also. And sometimes churches don't go forward and churches don't grow and we lose those under us because we, instead of being teachers, still need to be taught. And there's a dullness there. Oh, that the Lord would Stir up within us our first love and allow the love of Christ to constrain us again. Allow our hearts to be stirred, that there will be a renewal of the joy of our salvation, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. We got to avoid the dullness that sometimes sets in. One final thought, and this is one specifically that the gentleman mentioned in the article, and that is this: recreation. Certainly there's nothing wrong with recreation. There's nothing wrong with relaxation. In fact, the Lord Himself sought time to get away and to be refreshed. You go through the study of the Gospels. There was a time in which He said to the disciples, "Come apart a while. You have need of rest." In fact, the Lord even established in the Old Testament the Sabbath for men to rest from their labors. God understands the importance of rest. He knows that we need that time to relax, that time to stop from all of our labors. But the problem is when our recreations become the priority and they take precedence over the duties in serving the Lord. And folks, I'll be honest, in our day and age, that is a problem. Recreations too often become the priorities instead of our duties in serving the Lord. Ask yourself this question: what do you look forward to most in a year? What is the one thing that you look forward to above everything else? What is your highlight? Now, I want you to think about that highlight, and I want to ask you to think about it this way: how does it match up to the following verses? Matthew 6:33. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." How does that thought match up to Romans 12:1-2? "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." How does it match up? Folks, we all need time for recreation. We all need time to relax. We all need time in a week just to set some time to do some things for us, so to speak. Nothing wrong with that. But is that the priority? I think that that time when the Lord Jesus Christ said to His disciples, "Let's go away for a while. You need some rest." They got in a ship and they traveled across the sea. What happened when they hit the other side? The people who saw them leave literally ran ahead and gathered more as they came. So when they got there, they came to a crowd. You know what Jesus said to them? "I really appreciate you all showing up here today. We're on vacation. Come back in a week." Nope. He ministered to them and He labored to them. In fact, if my memory serves me correct, it was at that time He would feed the 5,000. And He would minister to their needs because He saw them as sheep not having a shepherd. Question: would you give up some holiday, some vacation, because there was an opportunity to serve the Lord? Or does the holiday and the vacation and the recreations take the precedent? The Lord Jesus said, "I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail." You know what keeps us from seeing that happen? Sometimes, folks, we're just too afraid to believe that He will. Our fear hinders us. Sometimes we're just not willing to do the work. We become a little lazy. Sometimes it's because of ignorance. We just have stopped studying and growing. That, by the way, will lead to a dullness. Instead of being teachers, we need to still be taught. And a church filled with those who need to be taught instead of those who are able to teach is going to struggle to go forward. And sometimes, folks, we just get our priorities out of whack. Sometimes those things which are needful take precedence over those things which are most important, which is serving the Lord. I believe that the words of the Lord Jesus Christ are true. He has promised to build His church, a church that will not allow the gates of hell to prevail. It will be victorious. I don't think we need to look around and say, it doesn't seem to be working, let's look for new methods. I think the methods are just fine. But I go back to the statement I said to you Sunday night, that book that I read, your problem is you. The problem that we have, folks, is often us. It's our fear, it's our laziness, it's our ignorance, it's our dullness, it's our priorities which are out of whack. May God help us to do things right that we might truly be a church growing forward for Him. Let's pray.